Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braden. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite undefeated cousin, Cousin Shane. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you, Shane, I think the entire SEC is having a great weekend.
Except
the Liquid and Florida Gators. You don't name it, Billy. What the hell? After all this buzz of hyping us up, this was shades away from the perfect SEC weekend. But, hey, we'll get to the loser here in a little while. I mean, everybody else had a hell of a weekend. You know what?
Yes. That's the thing. I felt like it was, other than one game, a extremely dominant performance by the SEC. And I thought, you know, this time last year, we were scratching our heads wondering, are we in for a long haul? And I'm feeling a lot better about this conference as a whole going into week three.
And I feel a lot worse about my picks. So, we'll get into that in just a second. But as always, we got to remind you guys, we're brought to you by MyBookie, the online sports book. Shane, if you ain't by now going over to MyBookie and just fading literally everything I say, you'd probably be a multimillionaire after just 2 weeks of the season. So, again, check them out, the online sports book, MyBookie. Put in that promo code SEC. You got your first wager guaranteed up to $500. You put in an initial deposit, you put in that promo code SEC. Even if you lose your first deposit, let's say it's $100 or $200 or $300, they give you that money right back in your account. Now, if you win it, you could cash out, you'd be done with it. So you sure as hell would not have cashed out if you listened to me this weekend, but you would if you listened to Cousin Shane. You know what?
That's right. It's safe bet. You know, that's what I like about it. It's a safe bet. Go ahead and get it in there. If you lose, you win. If you win, you still win. So that's the kind of betting I like to do, Mike.
And you know what's not a bet, though, Shane?
What's that, buddy?
And you can guarantee you win. Tennessee Legend, come on. I think I had too much Tennessee Legend doing my power rankings, but I had a good time. That's all that really matters. You know what?
Absolutely. I wanted to highlight one of the cousins here. Tony, Legend of the Week, said, hey, we ain't got it in our package store. So what did he do? He tell, hey, I need some of this on the shelves. They did it. That's why we're highlighting this week's today's Tennessee legend, Tony.
Tony, shout out. what a legend you are, Tony.
Hell
Tennessee
yeah.
Legend, that is.
That's it. Hey, if you get to a package store, or if you get into your store, take a picture with it, send it to me, or email us at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com if you want to be a legend for the week.
Yeah. Hey, shout out, Shane. Also, real quick, pick'ems. Hey, I gained on you. Well, not really. I tied you this week. But hell, so Shane is in the lead, but shout out to Steven Up, Shane. He had the best weekend of anybody, better than Steven.
Damn.
The encyclopedia, better than the professor over there. So Steven Up, he is tied. The cousins, they're tied with Shane. So you guys know way more than me, and you know as much as Shane, you're doing pretty good, and better than Steven even. So shout out Steven Up for a 14-1 weekend. Maybe we ought to be listening to his picks more often. You know what?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Mike. There's going to be a little theme today of apologies. And after looking at that, I'm reminded of the few we're going to have to get to this week.
Yeah. Hail Frankenstein, says Bo, gave us $20. And, buddy, we got the donations coming in here. So let's get through the donations real quick, and then we'll get into the action. Shout out. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Mr. Liquid. Oh, man. Liquid. I'm sorry. But you gifted, so I'm going to highlight you as soon as I can find it here. Liquid has gifted Clarko. Clarko, welcome
to the family.
Shout out Glenn. Glenn gave us five gifted memberships. Glenn's on damn cloud nine right now. Shout out John Lee got gifted. Mm-hmm. Senior Josh got gifted. Sancho. Howdy, howdy, fishing, and Sean Jones, welcome
to the family.
And shout out Buttered Sausage.
Oh, Buttered Sausage made it back.
You crazy bastard, Buttered. Buttered, he gifted, he gifted Chad the Chef. Chad!
Welcome to the family.
JR the legend. He's feeling good. I don't know how good he is because they're going to get their ass beat perhaps on Saturday. J MBs, welcome to the family. Yeah, I'm running out of voice over here.
Your
already.
Voice gets lower and lower every time you're doing it.
And then Stephen Up, Stephen Up gifted. Shout out Stephen Up. He gifted a membership to Bo Button. Welcome to the family. Oh, my God. I don't know what's going on, Shane. I think I'm just fired up for SEC football, and I'm fired up for all these cousins. The donations are flying in. Can't thank you enough. But we got to get on with this show, Shane, and let's start. My guy, Shane. My God. Have you seen his damn John Mateer? Shout out Oklahoma 24, Michigan 13. What a damn ball game. From Mr. Moneyline Mateer, Shane, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, but John Mateer, old Johnny Mateer, I think he's, right now, he's my favorite to win the Heisman. Now, it's very early. You know, we don't give anyone a damn Heisman after just two games or anything. But, man, Oklahoma looked like $1 million on the defensive side of the football. John Mateer was everything they said he was. Remember, Shane? Oh, he ain't played no competition. He can't come into this conference. All that. He shut that down pretty quick. But shout out Mateer, 21 of 34, 270 yards passing, a touchdown and a pick. He also led Oklahoma in rushing with 74 yards and two touchdowns. And keep in mind, Shane, this is Oklahoma started four new starters on the offensive line going up against mighty Michigan and their front seven. Oklahoma was 4-4 in the red zone for 27 points, 9 of 17 on third downs. And, buddy, they closed this damn game out with one of the most epic drives that ever ended in a field goal that you'll ever see in your life. But, hey, you nailed it. I mean, they didn't dominate the rushing battle.
Right.
But compared to where they were against Illinois State, this is literally, you know, as good of a performance, I thought, as you could have in this situation, breaking in all these new offensive linemen. And all of a sudden, Shane, I said it last night. Yes, I was a little drunk, but I'm sticking with it. This team can win the national championship the way they're playing on defense. And with that damn quarterback, Moneyline Mateer, I'm not saying they're winning the championship, but I'm saying they can do it based on what I've seen after 2 weeks.
I'd like to see a little more balance, Mike. I'd like to see this running game. But again, probably my first apology should be for that Michigan defensive line. They are tough. And the fact that we were able to get, 140 yards on them, I thought was pretty damn impressive. Of course, a lot of that came on the legs of John Mateer, which is the real deal. That's what I want to stress in this game, Mike. I felt like, oh, shit, after that halftime and we had that big run, here we go. Oklahoma's back off the wagon, right? No, not so fast, my friend. That's what happens when you got a leader on your team. This team came out galvanized. They didn't back down from any mistakes that they made, because there was a couple of mistakes in this game. And that's what I like to see, is a team that just doesn't fold up and quit. What a wonderful win for them Oklahoma's, or those Oklahoma boys.
Yeah, and then again, this Michigan they got a quarterback. I really do think he was a true freshman. You know, that gave me so much confidence that Oklahoma was going to win this game, because Michigan had a true freshman at quarterback. But aside from the damn running back, they have Justice Haynes, who he busted out a 70. You mentioned the 75-yard touchdown. He had 125 yards on the day. So again, we can't just eliminate the 75-yarder. But if you did, he did nothing, and he's an elite player himself. So aside from the running back, Michigan, they got a lot of problems on offense. But I think that says more about the Oklahoma defense, which carried them to this win and makes Oklahoma a damn dangerous team. So, you know, not that we have to look ahead to the whole thing here, Shane, but, I mean, hell, based on what we've – again, I know it's just 2 weeks, but based on what we've seen by – based on Texas offense, South Carolina, we'll get to. They're like a train wreck on offense right now. You got to love the Sooners' chances to keep this thing rolling. Now, we'll see what they look like against Auburn. That's going to be a hell of a matchup, but how could you be anything other than wildly impressed with the Sooners after 2 weeks?
Mike, this schedule went from like, oh, look how tough Oklahoma has. Now I'm looking at these other teams saying they're looking at Oklahoma like, damn, we got to play them. You know, that's kind of what it feels like, is now they have the bullseye. And that's what you want, man. Coming into these first 2 weeks, we were hoping, praying that these guys would start off strong. But, Man, I'll tell you what, this may be the comeback team of the year right now based off what we saw last season.
Right. So, man, just a hell of a game here. And, yeah. And, you know, with
nationally that Red River's, that Red River's getting closer, ain't it, Mike?
But I just think it's big. You got game day in town.
Yeah.
You got nationally televised. This is a scene where Oklahoma like shit the bed last year.
Yes.
And it's a complete 180. So shout out. And we had one guy we haven't mentioned, their offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Man, he's Ben Arbuckle. I think he's the real deal that Oklahoma got.
Do you know what he was doing 5 years ago? He was they love them stories, didn't they? I hope them Sooner fans are going to have to hear it every single week. But yeah, no, I felt like we're, this offense looked night and day different than last year. You know, there were, it just felt like there was a game plan. It wasn't, you know, let's draw it in the sand and see what happens. And it, yes, it does help that you've got a lot more health around you, but I'm just seeing progress, man. Mike, it's from week one to week two, I saw a big step forward here, and that's what I like. That's a telltale sign that you got a successful program, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now I think the next step, and again, this might sound silly, right? But
yeah,
just look at college football. This is something I'm going to be talking about all week, not just Oklahoma, but the rest of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sensing a major theme here, Shane, where you got a big game.
Yeah.
You get up for it. You know, and now you come off it. You go to Temple, and it's like a trap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. That's what I'm looking for, Oklahoma again. Surely they'll beat Temple, but who knows? It's on the road. It's a weird environment. But mm-hmm. again, this is not just for Oklahoma, but you know, we just saw it with LSU. We'll get to that in a minute. But you play these massive games, and then it's a little bit of a letdown. So I think that's a constant battle that a lot of these teams, Alabama's another one. I mean, just basically all of them are having a battle. So just keep that in your back pocket. Anything else to cap Oklahoma before we move on?
No, a lot of happy Sooners in the crowd here, ain't there? A lot different it was this time last year.
How about this last thought, Shane? Michigan had as many scoring drives as they had three and outs, three apiece. So, again, dominant defensive performance. This is the defense we were hoping we were going to get from the Sooners, and they have delivered. Speaking of delivering, Shane... The Border War, come on! It delivered an all-time classic, Shane. I think this is the best damn game we have seen this entire season. Mizzou wins the Border War 42-31. And if you didn't watch this game, first of all, I don't know what you're doing with your life. But this wasn't like this a blowout. I mean, this was a back and forth. Bo Prabula, you know, he had his first mistake of the season, fumble. Kansas scoop and score touchdown. Kansas was up 21-6 early in the third quarter. This was a hell of a game that there was all kinds of explosive plays, fourth down conversions. Kansas was 2 of 2 on fourth down, but Missouri was even better, 4 of 5 on fourth down. Kansas even led this football game, Shane, 31-28 with 5 minutes to play. But Mr. Bo Prabula, who I could not have underrated this guy anymore. I was unfamiliar with his game. Shout out Bo, 30 of 39, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Yeah.
And how about Ahmad Hardy? Now, we did hype him up. Mm-hmm. 112 rushing yards, Shane. I don't know if you've seen this. 103 yards after contact.
Jeez.
12 missed tackles forced for Ahmad Hardy. And hell, he didn't even lead the team in rushing, Shane. Jamal Roberts did, 143 yards. Missouri outrushed Kansas 261-31. That's why they won this damn game, because they were clutch, because they won the ground game, because they converted on fourth down. This was an all-time game in a tricky spot where the fans demanded you delivered. And anytime that happens, Shane, and the opponent comes into your house and they jump on you, there's a real risk of folding. But at no point did we feel like Missouri was going to fold in this damn football game. They just kept fighting. And this is a team that is just getting better and better. And hell, they've got some good runway here to potentially make a run at the college football playoff.
Oh, buddy, I tell you what, Bo's the real deal, ain't he? It was always nice to see a Heisman winner out there on the football field because that's what he felt like, clutch. And it, for me, Mike, it was the third downs, the fourth downs, you know, so, like high-pressured situations, and they were dimes thrown against the sideline, touchdowns against Coleman. This Norfleet, I tell you what, where the hell's he been, right? I feel like Drake's watching some of these highlights like, shit, I should have used him a little more last year, you know? I mean, he was just an absolute bulldozer. So there's so many weapons surrounding Bo, but I feel like Bo is making those weapons better. Does that make sense, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I feel like if you go to a locker room and say, hey, this kid's good, but you pair him with a quarterback that's playing the way he is right now, golly, he makes everyone better. And that's exactly what Missouri was, man. They were better. They were the better team. Yes, they made some mistakes early in this game. I thought one of the ballsiest moves was after they – late in the game when Kansas got that score to go up, you know, they go down. It's like midfield. Fourth down, Drake says, hell no, keep the offense on the football field. That's the gusto that I wanted to see, and that's what this fans needed, man. It was electric. I've been tagged in just about every Mizzou celebration after this game, but this was a big one for them.
Yeah, and shout out, I'm seeing it all in the comments, so we got to give them some love, Shane. I don't know the gentleman's name, but there was a Missouri fan, anybody that missed it. He had an opportunity to attempt a field goal, and if he made it, I think it was like a 40, 45-yard field goal, so a long field goal. But if he made it, they were going to give him $25,000. Yeah. Instead of attempting it, he kicked it at the damn Kansas fans.
Yeah, he lifted his shirt. It said FKU, and he kicked the football toward the Kansas players. And they have, just so you know, they have started a GoFundMe for this guy, and it's up to like $5,000 right now. So if you're a fan, try to find that and give him a little money. It was worth it.
Hey, one guy, I don't think we mentioned him. How about Kevin Coleman, Shane? 10 catches, yeah. 126 yards, one touchdown. He has quickly turned into Missouri's go-to option on these third downs, these fourth downs. Him and Perbula have a real connection already. He is everything we hyped him up to be this offseason. He's a real weapon for Missouri. And
it's just the clutch plays for me, and there was a lot of just I'm watching this running back room, not just Hardy but Roberts. I mean, talk about a 1-2 combo, maybe the most dangerous combo in the country right now. They've got it. Defense made a few mistakes. Daniels is not an easy quarterback to contain. You know, they did a good job doing that, but all in all, it was just it was a fun football game to watch.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole offseason, Shane, we were getting peppered with questions about Bo and what he could be. Mm-hmm. And it was mostly like, hey, if he's a top eight quarterback, how good can Missouri be? I mean, I'm trying not to overreact here because we got a hell of a lot of good quarterbacks.
Right.
He may very well be, I mean, this is going to sound crazy. He might be the best quarterback in the conference. I mean, this is after two starts. I love John Mateer. I like Lenoir. So again, I'm not saying he's better than these guys.
Swagular.
But this guy's been a quarter. This is the first time, Shane. This is the first game of his career. He started the game and finished the game.
Yes.
And hell, he's completing 80% of his passes. Mm-hmm. He's got 7 touchdowns. I mean, imagine what he's going to look like in 8 games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, again, he's probably not the best, but let's say he's like top 3.
Yeah. In the Southeastern Conference.
I mean, I don't think that's like a stretch at this point in time. You know what?
No, not right now. That's not an overreaction, Mike. And I feel like, yes, you look at guys like this, and especially some of these other schools, these, you know, other programs that were looking for a quarterback, and you're like, how did you miss Bo? It took 7 days. So Bo went on the market. 7 days later, he's down there in Columbia. You know, that's just kind of the thing I like about Drake. He's proved time and time again that he's been able to identify talent that people aren't looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did not care for that comment. But, I've just reacted to what we're seeing here. You know what? So there's greatness in the Southeastern Conference right now, Shane. And then there's...
No.
This.
Golly.
Florida loses to South Florida. You know, I mean, everybody saw this coming. Mm-hmm. Except for me. Shout out South Florida. I mean, what a way to lose this damn game, Shane. The spit game. Florida's. I don't know if you've seen this yet, Shane. This is Florida's first loss to an in-state program that's not Florida State or Miami in the swamp since 1938.
Yeah.
They have not lost to an in-state program not named Florida State or Miami since 1938 at home. 11 penalties really killed them. The spitting was by far the worst, but it was among many. You had a great point online. I want to give you credit.
Thank you.
Florida scored like 5 touchdowns, but they were all come back by penalty. You know, it's like you can't win if every time you're scoring, there's a damn penalty on the play. I heard every single starting offensive lineman had at least one penalty called on them on this one. Florida has allowed 18 tackles for loss after 2 games. That's 129th in the country. Shane, Florida had one touchdown drive, and it was of 20 yards. This is like they didn't go like the length of the field. They only had to go 20 yards. 3 red zone trips resulted in 13 points. They were 4 of 12 on third down, and that's why they lost this damn football game. And man, again, all the DJ hype, and I'm responsible for. Mm-hmm. He's not been great, and I don't necessarily put it on him. I think it's on, again, this is why we made such a big deal, him not playing in the spring,
right.
Him not going in the fall. This is why, because he's still a work in progress. He looks rusty as hell out there. And, I blame it all on Billy Napier.
Well, and that's why he kept getting all the questions about his health. Are you sure you're fine? Because we all saw it. You talk about a lot of rust. That's what... It's to be expected, but we just didn't want to act like it would be there. You know, it's like, did we see the best DJ Lagway last year? Is that as good as it gets? That's kind of what it felt like at times during this game. But at the end of the day, it's the same shit over and over, Mike. It's the clock management. It's the penalties, that discipline. It's just
special teams. Bad snap cost you 2 points. Hell, that's what you lost by, 2 points.
Exactly. We're 4 years into this, and I made the joke, that this was always a 5-year project. We just need to give him time, but. Golly, it's almost embarrassing, because now how can you defend it? If you're a Florida fan, if you're the AD, how can you come out here and say, hey, just trust the process apparently is flawed. It has failed. And this was absolutely embarrassing, because if USF would have walked in there with red jerseys and the Gators walked in there with blue jerseys and we're playing dodgeball, I'm going to say that damn blue team's going to whoop the shit out of those guys. And they should have, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm. And shout out to, just stupid stuff like this, Shane. Jaden Ball, 51 yards on 5 carries.
Yeah, first drive.
And then they said, well, hell, let's just give him 13 attempts the rest of the game. I mean, what in the hell are we doing? Shout out Billy Napier. He's 20-20 now after 40 games. How about the last several coaches, Shane, that after 40? Dan Mullen was 31-9, ran his ass off. Jim McElwain, who we hated.
Yeah.
22-12. He didn't get to 40, but he got more wins than Napier. He didn't even get to 40. Will Muschamp, who they ran his ass off, he was 24-16. And then Urban Meyer, 31-9. So, again, no one was probably going to be as good as Urban Meyer. But, again, to be the worst of the last 5 hires after 40 games, I think that tells you everything you need to know about Billy Napier. Nice guy, but, hell, his time is nearing an end. But I will say this, silver lining here, very silver lining. I mean, hell, they did it last year, right? They rebounded. And this is, again, maybe they were caught looking ahead to LSU. I don't know. I really don't think so, because they just, they cost themselves this one. But we just went through all this, Shane, where he's got to go. He got his ass kicked by Miami and A&M at home. And somehow he rebounded. Any shot that they do it again and they rebound, maybe DJ Lagway, he knocks off the rust. Is there any shot you think Billy Napier saves it?
No. I mean, if we're doing percentage, I would say there is a 10% shot that he rebounds.
That's only 1 out of 10. Come on.
Yeah, I feel like, well, there's 10 games left, you know? And I feel like there, somebody said, I've read it somewhere, that out of the remaining games, I think there's only 2 that they're going to be favorites in. Yeah. You know, so this USF is not a tough team. I mean, it is a good team. Don't get me wrong. I think they're going to do great things, but it is not the toughest team that this team is going to have to face, especially in the next 4 to 5 weeks. So you feel like it's getting bad now. How can you watch what you saw in the swamp? You paid them money to come here and kick your ass in the swamp, yet maybe we can beat this team on the road. No, I'm not feeling that, Mike.
All right. Well, I had to ask, you know.
All right.
Liquid says 1 out of 10. Billy doesn't suck.
Yeah, exactly.
God, I could not have been more wrong about that one. You know what?
You couldn't be. I tried telling you. You almost got me. You and Pate. You kind of like, come on, man. It's going to be great. Things are awesome. Florida's back. No.
Well, here's what I did get right. This is about the only one here. Shout out Ole Miss Shane going on the road and beating Kentucky. Save Shane from working in the coal mine. So you might be the biggest winner of the whole weekend. But, you know, this was a game, Shane, where Kentucky had their opportunity. They were up 10-0. Austin Simmons, you know, we were hyping him up as the next God's gift to football. He looks shaky as hell. Threw a bunch of interceptions. He's now got 4 interceptions on the season. And, again, Kentucky was having their opportunities. But, man, they don't have much of an offense. And I don't know what in the world they were doing. They had nearly they had 33 pass attempts and only 37 rushes Kentucky had. That is not the recipe for success. I mean, and their running game was working. Seth McGowan, I'm very impressed with him. He had 88 yards, 2 touchdowns on just 15 carries, but they got away from it. And, buddy, shout out this guy, Kawan Lacy, Ole Miss new running back, Shane. 28 carries, 138 yards, and a touchdown. He leads the SEC right now in rushing after 2 weeks. So this was a gutty performance. This was a little come-from-behind performance for Ole Miss and company. Nice. You never... Never apologize for winning on the road in this conference, but I don't want to say luck, but I mean I think they narrowly escaped here, and I know Kentucky did kick a field goal late to kind of make us a little bit closer than it looked, but if Kentucky knew what the hell they were doing,
yeah,
I think they should have won this game.
Mike, if I went to the doctor and told them I had trouble sleeping, they'd write me a script for 2 quarters of this damn game. That's what it felt like, man. It was a tough watch, and I feel bad. I feel bad for Kentucky because say what you want, that defense played fantastic. This is not on Kentucky's defense. This is on. I mean, you want to talk about what's scratching my head? This isn't a coach that just started coaching in Lexington, man. Some of that clock management, some of the delay of games, the timeouts that we had to waste in the first half. There was a lot of that going on here. Calzada at times looked gosh awful. I think they had a stat line. It was late in the second quarter. It was the first time they had a play over 10 yards in the game. They only had 3 the week before. This is just. It's a tough spot because I do feel like there's a lot of good that's happening in that locker room. It's sure as shit happening in the stands. I mean, if you made it out to this game, they were there, they were present, but it was just bad. And then you look at Ole Miss. I don't know, man. There's a lot of people that think Lane Kiffin's going to get back there to that college playoff talk. And I mean, Austin Simmons showed his age in this football game. There was a lot of dumb young mistakes. You know, a little scared too. He got banged up late in this game. You realize he is not a big guy, and they may want to slow down the quarterback draws. You know what I'm saying with this one? Right. But there was moments he was completely dialed in. But I felt like this was more Ole Miss coming in unprepared, and Kentucky just giving everything they have, but just showing that they don't have enough.
Right, and I should have mentioned that, so thank you for bringing that up. Austin Simmons got hurt. He exited the game.
Yeah.
Did not return, and they're saying post-game he's fine. He could have went back in, but...
Calzada came out, too. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, he got hurt, too. So both the starting quarterbacks in this game left, did not return. and Ole Miss is saying Austin Simmons will be fine. But I was going to say, Kiffin's not necessarily the most transparent coach in a conference. So, could, you know, that's going to be a huge storyline, I think, all week going into Arkansas. That's a huge game. Two undefeated Southeastern Conference teams. We'll talk about that all week. But, again, I hope Austin Simmons is fine. But, hell, even when he's healthy, he didn't look that good in this one. Yeah. He damn near cost him the football game. I will give him credit, though. I don't want to sit here and just completely bash him. It was a fourth and inches in that game, and they trusted him to go deep.
Yeah.
And they hit Trey Wallace on a 55-yard play. I think that was the moment where Ole Miss kind of regained their confidence, and it's plays like that that win you games on the road. You know what?
I thought that was great. Great point. I felt like Lane Kiffin, the quarterback whisperer he is, you know, Austin made some mistakes early in this game, but to give him the confidence to do that on fourth down, I felt like showed you why we're going to see progress from him. So again, I'm not saying Austin Simmons is bad. I think he's still one of the most elite quarterbacks in this conference, but he's going to have growing pains just like everyone else did. And this was a growing pain that did not result in a loss. So take it. Lane Kiffin even said that after the game. Hey, we're just happy to get out of this one with a win. So yes, take it as a learning and move forward. I feel like Ole Miss will be fine.
Yeah, but probably not Kentucky, right?
With
at South Carolina, at Georgia, Texas, and Tennessee as our next conference games.
And my biggest concern is some of the toughest defenses in the country are next. South Carolina, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee. These, Auburn.
Auburn.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long time till you get to November 8th. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm a little worried. But let me
ask you about Ole Miss, though, because we'll talk Arkansas in a second. They had a huge win. But, people were calling me crazy, Shane, when I said Arkansas is beating them. I don't know that I'm fully predicting that now. You know, I reserve the right to change my opinion, but I'm feeling good, feeling better after we've seen two weeks of games that Arkansas can compete with Ole Miss and Oxford. Where are you with that?
Yeah, this is could be a really good game, you know? And I'm kind of curious because both defenses are playing better here. Of course, I don't want to get too excited about Arkansas because they've played two inferior opponents, but Ole Miss, Arkansas, this could be a sneaky good game here, man. Maybe a lot of points and it may be 25 to 24 at the end of the game. So I don't know. That's the thing. It could go either way.
Right. Well, hey, you know, where else you could go either way, Shane?
Where's that?
If you're like Billy Napier and you got a bad, stinky, swampy situation down there, check out new sponsor, Shane, Tushy Bidet. Go check them out at hellotushy.com. Promo code that SEC for 10% off your order. What is this, Tushy, you ask, Shane? They sent it to Shane and I cannot be more happy, Shane, with this. It's a bidet to wash where the sun don't shine, where Billy needs it because his stank-ass program right now. So, again, that's hellotushy.com, promo code THATSEC, save you 10%. And I got to tell you, Shane, I've never had one of these bidets. I always thought that was a little fruity, a little French device, whatever it is. No, I will never go back. Now that I have this Tushy, I could not be happier that they sent me one. And you know me, Shane, I'm like pretty handy, but I'm not like the most handy guy. Dude, I set this thing up, took me about 5 minutes, super, super easy, super convenient. And I'll tell you, the missus couldn't be happier over here. She's like, she's smelling a lot better than Billy Napier these days, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm surprised promo code ain't Billy, you know?
Oh, yeah, and Slim, excellent point. You could wash away the spit, even Florida damn. Spit there with one of these tushies.
Oh,
you know
my
what?
Gosh. Oh, man, we made it, ain't we?
All right, Shay, next game on the docket. Man,
yes.
Go back to the glory that is big-time wins. And I'm surprised we got this. It took us this long to get to it because they deserve some damn respect. Down in Starkville, Shane, shout out you for predicting this one because Mississippi State beats Arizona State 24-20. And I would argue that there's no better win for the Southeastern Conference this weekend than Mississippi State who everybody thinks is dog shit, just beat the Big 12 champion from last year, number 12 in the country. How in the hell you don't rank Mississippi State after this? Hell, they were number 12, weren't they? And guess who's still ranked? Shane, Arizona State. Well, they just got their ass whooped by old Mississippi State. So I don't know what's going on here, but Mississippi State, this was no fluke, Shane. They took the ball, went 75 yards in four plays, scored a touchdown, jumped out to a 17-0 lead on Arizona State. Arizona State came crawling all the way back, tied it up in the fourth quarter. But shout out Mississippi State, Shane, and this defense. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a more improved unit in the entire conference than Mississippi State's defense. They were dog shit last year. They won them this football game, Shane, with a goal line stand, yep. Forced a field goal with 1:40 left in the game. And what Mississippi State do? Play it safe, trying to get a field goal? No, sir. 58-yard touchdown with 30 seconds left. And again, that defense for Hale State, Shane, 6 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 2 turnovers forced, and that damn goal line stand, which won them essentially the football game. This is the biggest win by far of the Jeff Lebby era. And perhaps a turning point for old Hale State down there. Couldn't be happier for these fans. We got a lot in here that are Mississippi State fans. They've been through hell, Shane, and I think they're coming out the other side.
Oh, man, I hope they had some therapists around there. I mean, they didn't have restaurants. They didn't have hotels, you know. Old Dillingham, he needed a pillow to cry into tonight. Hey, my first big apology is to this quarterback. And to Mississippi State as a whole, I was wrong. Chapin looked fantastic, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple misses, but there was a couple of throws in here that ultimately won this game that couldn't have been caught, couldn't have been defended any better. I just thought that this was, and a shout out to the fans, man. I don't think I've ever heard so many cowbells in my life. I mean, I've watched a lot of Mississippi State games. It's been a long time since it's made that type of buzz, and that's a sign for me that it's time, right? This is, I mean, they're all in on Lebby now. Let's keep this thing rolling. Don't die off now. I love when Mississippi State's in the mix.
Yeah, and again, they abuse this damn quarterback, Shane.
Yeah.
Who I heard was amazing. Sam Levitt, 10 of 22, 82 yards. What the hell? What are you, a Kentucky quarterback? Come on. He had 2 picks in this game, Shane. Arizona State. Now, they had a lot of success rushing. That's the only way they were in this, when they rushed for 251 yards. But, hell, that's all right, because Mississippi State, we play bend, but we don't break down here on defense. So, hell of a performance. And all of a sudden, buddy, are you nervous now with they've been calling it, Shane. We got Alcorn next week. We got NIU. Yeah. We're going to be 4-0 with Tennessee coming to town. I know where your heart is, but
yeah.
Are you at least, you got to be more concerned about this.
More concerned, yes. Mainly because of the defense. I didn't realize they were so feisty, you know? And I mean, obviously you're going to worry, but the more chemistry that they build, the more mistakes they clean up by that one. That's what I love about Mississippi State's schedule here is, hey, you made it. You made it past the top 25 team. Now you got 2 to clean up some of those mistakes you made in those first 2 weeks. Going into Tennessee, going into SEC play, yeah, this may be a team that we – I'm not saying that we overlook, right? We all know that they still are in rebuild mode, but damn, they're a lot more dangerous. And I feel like they're going to sneak up on 1 or 2 SEC teams at least this season, maybe more. And that's what we want. We want to get them back in the mix.
Yeah, Hale State over
right,
here,
right
buddy.
After Tennessee. Right after Tennessee, they're going to find him an SEC win.
Yeah, so that was awesome. And another big-time win here, Shane, for the conference. Shout-out, team Shane's been shitting on. Yeah. Them Vanderbilt Commodores, come on down. 44, Virginia Tech 20 on the road, Shane. Buddy, Diego Pavia, what a badass he is. 12 of 18, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have a pick. Vanderbilt started rough, Shane. 2 turnovers on the first 3 drives. And then they said, hell, let's just score every damn drive the rest of the way. They averaged 8.6 yards per play and limited Virginia Tech to 4.1 yards per play, decimated them in rushing 262 to 114. Hell, brother, Vanderbilt is a complete football team. Their defense is getting better. 8 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 2 turnovers. They got 14 points off of those turnovers. Are they going to, like, win the conference? Well, they say they're going to win the national championship. But all of a sudden, Shane, going in to South Carolina now, we'll have all week to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I got more confidence right now today. Hell, South Carolina and Vanderbilt have both played Virginia Tech. South Carolina beat them on a neutral field, but Vanderbilt whooped their ass at Virginia Tech. So, again, that doesn't necessarily mean much for a head-to-head, but I just got a lot of confidence that Vanderbilt is a legitimate team. And, again, they play a sneaky brand, Shane, where they try to, you know, milk the clock, and now they legitimately have weapons that can hit you with some explosive plays.
Yeah. Apology number two. and you know, what's crazy to me is that they're not in the top 25, right? You know, I felt like, nothing against what South Carolina's done up to this point, but, you know, going to Virginia Tech and putting that kind of beating on them and then coming back and getting no respect in the polls is kind of a surprise to me. That just, I think at that point, you're just marking Virginia Tech's a bad squad. Virginia right. Tech's got a bowl team. Virginia Tech's going to go pretty far in that conference. I truly believe it. They face the SEC, and that's what happens when you face this conference. So, again, Vanderbilt's not getting that credit. Similar to last year, we did this with the Mizzou game, you remember? We shit on Mizzou the whole time. We didn't even acknowledge it. Maybe just, Vanderbilt's good.
What's wrong with Mizzou? That's all that was said.
Exactly. So that's what those locals are probably saying about Virginia Tech right now. But you got to realize the Vanderbilt looks even better than they did last year, which is even more scary than what we saw last season.
Right. And again, Vanderbilt got down 17-7.
Yeah.
They outscored Virginia Tech on the road 37-3. I mean, I don't care who you are. I don't know if that's like a statistic Nick Saban's teams would do on the road. Or Kirby Smart, 37-3 on the road, you outscore someone. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. And again, I'm not sitting here saying Vanderbilt's, you know, marching to the playoff or anything, but I just think this is even better than last year's Vanderbilt team. I think they had to be sneaky to get some wins. Now they're just better than teams. So they'll get their best test of the season on the road, South Carolina coming up. I think that's going to be a hell of a ball game and quite possibly one of the top two conference games that we'll have this weekend in the SEC.
Yeah, and I text you after this game. I said, watch Pavi Asu for another year, just like he always stays down there.
Well, you know who might be suing us here soon, Shane?
Who's that? Get in line.
Richard Johnson. I assume his nickname's Dick here. He gives it 5 membership.
Hell
shout
yeah.
out. Richard Dick Johnson. He gave it to Elk Chit. What a name. Elk Chit. Killer First Spear, what a name. Cajun Vol, Joshua McKenzie, and Travis 772.
Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you.
Courtesy of Big Richard.
Yeah. Richard is a rough name.
Richard.
All right. Well, hey, you know who's not a Richard, Shane?
Who's that?
Arkansas, who they beat Arkansas State like a damn drum, 56-14, Shane. And man, this off, man, we got to start listening to these damn Razorbacks saying, well, what if we got the best offense in the damn SEC? Hell, they might. I know the competition is not elite by this point in time, but Taylen Green leads the conference with 10 passing touchdowns, Shane. Listen to this Arkansas drive chart for this football game, Shane. Touchdown, 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 touchdown. Did have an interception and a punt and an interception, and then they said, oh, wait, let's get back on track. Touchdown, 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 touchdown. I mean, this is like video game stuff. It's elite. And again, they're technically on the road. They're away from home in old Little Rock up there. But Taylen Green looks like $1 million. They're rushing all over people. And this time the defense got better. Shane, they averaged nearly 11 yards per play, 10.9 yards per play. They limited Arkansas State to 3.7. The Razorbacks had 10 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 2 turnovers, and a Christmas tree. I mean, this is what you want when you're going up against a team that you're supposed to be better than. They overmatched them, and now they got a world of confidence. Remember, there were some people saying, oh, upset alert, watch out. Is this a game Sam Pittman loses his job? Hell, they beat the shit out of these fools, and they may very well shock the world next week and beat the way Ole Miss played this weekend and the way Arkansas played this weekend. Give me edge to Arkansas. We'll see if that carries over, but very excited about the progress from week one to week two, particularly on the defensive side of the football. Arkansas looks great.
Oh, it's always great when Butch Jones loses another one, isn't it? Felt like he was back in Knoxville there for a second. You know, there was a couple of things. I mean, obviously in this game that I'd like to see cleaned up. The penalties was one of them. I think they had 70-something yards in penalties there. But this one, for me, Mike, it's another step forward. I don't like seeing Talen run for 150 yards, but I don't hate it. You know what I'm saying? I would almost prefer it to be saved, though, for maybe next week when you're going against Ole Miss, maybe the Tennessee games. You know, there's going to be times where we're really going to need Talen Green's legs. This shouldn't have been one of those games. Don't get me wrong. I feel like Arkansas is in a great spot, and they're exactly where they need to be. Not talked about. And after this Ole Miss game, this September 13th, I feel like this is the time that they could really come out and we can find out if this is a legit contender or if this is just another Arkansas team.
Yes, sir. So, buddy, I think you nailed it. This is right where you want to be.
Yeah.
Just laying in the weeds, you know, like one of them Razorbacks.
Your 7-foot quarterback just barely seeing. They'll never see you coming.
Well, speaking of never seen coming, Shay, we didn't see these struggles coming from Mighty Texas. Now, again, we did the live stream, so I don't know if you go back, if you rewatch that game, throw that on. That was a good time. But Texas, you know, if you just look at the final score, it was funny, Shane, because I was watching all the recap shows. They're like, Arch Manning, God, he looked like a million bucks. Scored 5 touchdowns, which he did. I'll give him credit. Texas wins 38-7 over San Jose. But if you really watch that game, buddy, I'm a little concerned. They started very rusty. Now they went like 4 drives in a row, big play touchdowns, and you thought, oh, okay, all's right in the world. They are going to score 50, 60 points. Then they kind of went back in the tank. Texas was 2 of 12, Shane, 2 of 12 on third down. They are right now, Shane, 121st in the country in third down conversion rate. So I don't know. Again, I know they played Ohio State, so that's probably a big factor there. But again, the defense dominant. The defense is who we thought they were. Nice bounce back from Arch, but I think he's injured. That's what I think, Shane, because again, when we're watching him play. Again, what was the hype and all that? It was ridiculous, of course. But there's so many times, Shane, where like he's got a wide open guy and he's like hitting him in the feet. Yeah. Or he's overshooting it. He had a really bad interception. When he was pressured, he was just chucking it. He was just getting rid of that damn football. And that goes back to, I think he was injured. There's a play, I retweeted it if anybody missed it, but where he throws it, he didn't get touched, clean pocket. And he is grimacing in major pain. So I think that's what's up. I think he's injured because otherwise he doesn't look like this guy that he's been hyped up to be, and I hope he gets there soon.
Yeah.
And yet I just picked him apart. He scored 5 touchdowns. So maybe that's not fair, but I don't know. You watch the guy, he looks off, doesn't he?
Does look off. The chemistry's off. And, you know, some of that, too, is on that receiving core. I'm very frustrated with the drops that Texas has had, because it's like Arch is, if he is in pain, if he is going through something right now, he needs help. It doesn't need to be a one-man show. You're making it that. And that means if it hits your hands, Wingo, you catch it. You know, I felt like Livingston, I don't know how you say that, but I felt like he played fantastic. There were some great moments in this game, and I could I felt like Steve Sarkisian was just trying to get more of this passing game going. Could they have turned around and hand off the ball every single time and won? Absolutely. But that, Texas has got to get right. They got two more cupcakes to get to, but when you get an SEC play, we need Arch at 100%. We need this offense at 100%. This defense did exactly what it's been doing since week one, and it's going to keep us in every single ball game. So I'm not worried about that side. It's just getting the offense on the same page.
Right. And again, at the end of the day, Shane, we sit here and I'm like, well, what if this, that, and the other? Mm-hmm. This is probably going to be the conversation till October 11th. You know, just like, how good is Texas? Because unless Florida bounces back, they're not really going to be tested for literally over a month with UTEP, Sam Houston, a bye, and then at Florida. So,
yeah,
we could kind of sit here and pick them apart, but I don't think we'll really know till that Red River and what a showdown that is looking to be perhaps here in a month. You know what?
It felt kind of like you're driving down the road and you hear a noise and you're like, yeah, you're moving forward. You know, everything's fine. You know, you're not wobbling too bad, but you keep like, you hear that was this offense. Like we just haven't got it all together yet. There's a leak somewhere. As soon as we find it, I feel like Texas will be fine.
Well, I'll tell you where there is no leaks right now, Shane. They are putting it together in College Station. Shout out A&M, Shane, beat Utah State 44-22, mm-hmm. and Utah did score with 4 minutes left to make it a little bit better on paper. I mean, this was 44-14. A&M had 554 yards of offense. They averaged 14.5 yards per completion. Marcel Reed looks like $1 million. We were underplaying him all week, Shane.
Yeah.
No quarterback in the conference has taken a bigger leap after two games, any returning quarterbacks, that is, than old Marcel Reed, and he leads the team in rushing. But we got back to the rushing. Maybe we taper off at, because he did get hurt. Yeah. I've received word that he's fine. He's good to go. He's going to be 100% for Notre Dame, so that's great news. But he's another one that left the game. A&M rushed for 235 yards. That's what we want to see from A&M. If you're rushing for 200-plus, and you got Casey Concepcion and Mario Craver, mm-hmm. who look like the two best transfer additions, perhaps, in the entire conference at receiver. And you got old Marcel firing it like he is. A&M can literally beat everybody on their schedule. And shout out Cassius Howe. You got to give this guy a credit for this, Shane. I've literally never seen this before in my life. Three sacks in a row on three plays. I mean, maybe that's happened before. Not to my knowledge. I don't know that's ever happened. Of course, I've never seen it. A&M had six sacks in total, nine tackles for loss, forced five, three and outs. So this is kind of what you expect when you play a Utah State. A&M looked like $1 million to me.
That defense, man, at that like you said, those three plays, I was just like, damn, you know, talk about pinning your ears back. That's what I like to see, is a little tenacious D there. And also on the offensive side, I don't want to see Marcel run as much, but I know he's going to, right? But I was wrong on him. This is, I guess, another apology, right? All right, since I'm dishing him out, I apologize. Reed's a better quarterback than I thought. But him, that chemistry with him and Concepcion is going to be Jeez Louise, get Concepcion the ball any way you can. I felt like that's what they were doing. But more importantly, the running game, this has got to be a balanced attack. Averaging almost 6 yards a carry, that's what they were able to get back to here against Utah State. So that's the recipe. Good balanced offense, tenacious defense. I love it. That's the recipe here for A&M to have success.
Right. I mean, they have the perfect combo where they're gonna pound you to death, mm-hmm. and then they're gonna hit you over the top.
Yeah,
you know that's what I think the perfect Colin Klein offense. What they're trying to be with all these weapons, I don't want Marcel Reed, like you said, running it like crazy.
Yeah.
and we don't need him throwing it 40 times a game either. You know, just push it down the field when it's there, and he's taking advantage of these opportunities this year. So, yeah, he looks phenomenal. Couldn't be more impressed with A&M this weekend. You know who else I couldn't be more impressed with, Shane?
Who's that?
And I know no one cares because the opponent. But shout out Bama, Shane. 73-0 over ULM. Buddy. They nearly had a flawless drive chart, Shane. They scored on every possession. but one of the possessions was a field goal. Every other one was a touchdown. 11 drives, 10 touchdowns. Again, I know ULM sucks, but that's pretty damn impressive. I don't care who you are. Ty Simpson, 17 of 17, did not have an incompletion, 226 yards, 3 touchdowns. Bama had 3 different quarterbacks, Shane, with 2 passing touchdowns, 583 yards of offense. This is the Alabama I thought we were getting. Too bad for them. They showed up a damn week too late. But, you know, again, I got, hey, the fact they didn't go into tank, Shane, and say, oh, we suck and yada, yada, yada. Wisconsin, they played some horrible team, and they struggled this week. I think it was MTSU who lost to Austin Peay.
Yeah.
Again, they should beat the hell out of them. But this was a nice rebound. Again, is Bam all the way back? I said it online just to piss people off, and it worked. People got pissed. No, Bama's not back. But this was the perfect response after being a national embarrassment, is to show up and just blow the doors off ULM. If we get this Bama the rest of the way, they're still a contender in the SEC.
That's it, man. And like you said, nobody watched this game. Hell, I barely made it through the replay of this thing, you know. So, but this is a classic, could have been 35-17 game, you know. Right. I mean, that's what we were all expecting, and I'm not going to lie. But I saw a team that was out there to get everybody back, let you know everything's fine. Week one was a mistake. My bad, said Kalen. So that's kind of what I felt like. So not only did Ty look a million times better, but the defense that made so many mistakes week one, just totally suffocating in this one, and they should have been. But holding a team to 23 yards passing is not an easy feat. Alabama was able to do that. So how do you bounce? But they still got some tough games coming up ahead of them. You know, not too many mistakes here, but those mistakes, they're going to be blown out of proportion when you're playing teams like Georgia. So you got to get ready. But, yeah, I felt like just hearing some of the players talk, come out during the week saying, hey, we know what's expected here. We know what the standard is. That's who we were questioning, was the character of some of these kids. And they've had player-only meetings, and you could feel that they were playing more as a football team Saturday than a bunch of individuals.
Right. And you know where we might need a players-only meeting, Shane?
Where's that?
Baton Rouge. What is going on there? Now, again, I thought they would struggle. Just how much they put into that Clemson game, getting that win, they're the toast of college football for a week. Then they turn right around and beat Louisiana Tech 23-7. So, hey, it is what it is, Shane. I think LSU's just a dominant defensive team now. So they did lead 20-0 going into the fourth quarter. So, I mean, at no point were they going to lose this game, but it was just sloppy. Yeah. Louisiana Tech, Shane, had 8 tackles for loss and 3 sacks. Cannot have that. That's going to get you beat in the conference if you're LSU. If you're, hell, even maybe against Florida, you know, against Ole Miss, against South Carolina, against A&M, hell, even Vanderbilt. Your offensive line has got to play better than this. I think they just, you know, took it for granted after that huge win and didn't take Tech seriously. So I'll give him a pass here. Nussmeier, 26 of 41, 237 yards, a touch and an interception in this ball game. So was this impressive? No. But again, you got the win, you get out, and it was never truly in doubt, even though if you look at the score, it was not impressive at all.
Yeah, this could be a wild episode on Netflix next year because Coach Kelly was not happy after this one. I mean, just Google the clips. He came out here, and because I feel like he's on a path to prove the naysayers wrong. And LSU, to have that mystique, to have that persona that they're the biggest, baddest boys in town, you can't let teams like this hang around. And that's exactly what they did. So I feel like they get back to it this week. But yeah, a lot of mistakes made early in this game. It was a sloppy game. It was over 200, I think over 200 yards worth of penalties in this thing. It was a tough, tough watch. Garrett Nussmeier didn't play his best game. This rushing attack didn't play their best. I felt like the defense still did pretty good, which is, I think the most impressive part is just how good that defense continues to be. But they'll get back. This was just a little hangover effect. We've all been there. We've all had a little too much Tennessee legend, you know, and there we are.
I got that hangover now, Shane. Yeah,
exactly.
You know who did have a hangover?
Who's that?
Shout out them Auburn Tigers, Shane. They just show up, go to work. 42-3 over Ball State. 495 yards of offense. How about Jackson Arnold? That kid can't throw. Hell yeah, he can. 24-28, 251 yards, 3 tutties, no interceptions. We didn't even ask him to run in this one. You know who we did ask, though? Jeremiah Cobb. He had 11 carries for 121, 2 touchdowns. How about this, Shay? This is hilarious. Rushing stats for this game. 224 for Auburn, minus 3 for Ball State. You're going to win every damn time you do that. So shout out this Auburn defense. 14 tackles for a loss, 6 sacks, a turnover. Ball State held to 1 of 14 on third downs. Ball State had 12 possessions and 9 3 and outs. This is efficiency. This is both sides of the football.
Yeah.
This is Hugh Freeze football at its finest, buddy. So, hey, shout out Auburn Tigers. Epic start as they cruise to 2-0.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this defense, oh, my God, where'd that come from? 68 yards total that they gave up? The defense was unreal. Sometimes it felt like they had 15 players on the football field. But on the offensive side, I feel like I could see what they're trying to do, just work some things. This felt like a classic preseason game, mm-hmm. And we're not there yet. That's one of my concerns. Is Jackson's chemistry with these receivers. It's not quite there. The offensive line gave up a few sacks. Of course, was that Jackson holding on to it too long? There were some mistakes, and that's okay playing Ball State. That's not okay against Oklahoma. That's not going to be okay against Mizzou, you know? So that's why you've got to get these games right. And so was it a learning curve? Absolutely. But I will say this, big win for the fans. Electric environment. Even though it's Ball State, some of the videos I'm seeing coming out pregame and stuff, it's just unreal. Those guys and girls, they're ready to get back, you know? We even got to see a little Deuce in this game, Mike. You know, I got 12-yard run, and everybody was like, oh, there's the future, baby.
Hey, and shout out Cousin Emily. I don't know if she's seen it yet, but we got our, thanks to Mr. Sip, got our cowbell here.
Hell
so
yeah.
Wardam Emily down there, so I see her in the comments. So we appreciate you for showing up.
Now that Sip's accepted my apology, I guess I can go ahead and get my cowbell.
You know who else get the cowbell, Shane?
Who's that?
Da-da-da-da. Them Tennessee Vols, 72-17 over ETSU. Set an all-time record, Shane, for Tennessee. Most points scored in the AP poll era, which dates back to the 1930s. Tennessee scored 24 in the first and second quarters and then said, hey, let's let the backups play. 717 yards of total offense for Tennessee. 458 passing yards. Good night. 41 first downs. I never seen anything like it, Shane. Joey Aguilar, more like Joey Schwagular. I think he's the best pickup out of the spring portal window. He had 288 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. He's averaging 9.1 yards per play after 2 games. Brazel had a nice bounce back, 9 catches, 125, 2 tutties. Mike Matthews, 6 catches, 111, and a touchdown. This is Josh Heupel football, Shane, just beating the doors off an overmatched team. And now they're rolling in to Georgia with College Game Day and the world. College football world, all eyes on Rocky Top this weekend. What's your thought on your boys here, Shane?
Oh, man. And it was funny is after, like, the first half, he's coming out there. He is so damn pissed. They're up 40 points. And he is pissed by the mistakes that they made in this football game. It just gets you pumped up, right? If you're mm-hmm. a Tennessee fan, the expectation, this is the highest score we've had since the 30s, you know? And Coach Hopple is still pissed off about mistakes the offense and defense is making. So I love that. This is a program that a lot of folks were doubting coming into it. And I don't want to get the cart from the horse. I know it's ETSU. But Aguilar looks pretty damn good. And I feel like you talk about the best bet, it's getting Swaggular over in Knoxville. And I'm thinking these Vols are going to be sitting pretty at the end of the year.
So based on what you're saying, Shane, it sounds like Heupel's the new Saban. He's getting on people's ass even though they're up 50. You know what?
I love it. That's what you got. You talk about culture stuff. That's the culture you create from the head down. And standards are higher in Knoxville than they used to be.
Yep. All right. Another cream puff here, Shane. Well, it was supposed to be. We had some weather delays, so maybe that affected some of these teams. But Georgia beats Austin Peay.
Yeah.
28-6. This was a sloppy game. Again, there was a weather delay. You know, that always kind of messes with teams. If you missed it, it was really a weird sequence, Shane. Georgia, right before halftime, got stopped at the goal line, and the clock damn ran out. So they had went the whole length of the field. They didn't score any points. So it was just very unlike a Kirby Smart team. They are a work in progress on the offensive line. Gunner, you know, again, his stats are, they don't look bad, Shane. 26 of 34 for 220 yards. But how about this, Shane? Of the 26 completions, 14 were screens or behind the line of scrimmage. So, again, it's dink and dunk. And hell, you know, they didn't lose, so we're not calling them out or anything. But that ain't going to cut it against Tennessee. Georgia did rush for 190 yards. But, that, you know, quite frankly, that's what you should be doing against Austin Peay. They held Austin Peay to 45 rushing. That was the difference in the game. They did, aside from that red zone that was scoreless, they did go 4 for 5 total in the red zone for 28 points. So, you know, not an awful performance, but just kind of like you kind of scratching your head wondering, well, maybe Austin Peay's really good or something. I don't know. But 28-6, doesn't feel like old Georgia of old quite yet, does it?
Ain't the toughest team in Tennessee, I hear. it feels to me like, you ever seen that meme where that guy's pointing Tom Hart and he's like, bait. You know, that's what that feels like. Like, oh, shit, Georgia's struggling. Tennessee scoring 100 points. I feel like Georgia's going to be fine. And I never in doubt in this game, but there was some stupid, oh, my gosh. There was just some stupid plays. And a lot of that has to be cleaned up because you will lose to a Tennessee team.
Yeah, so it almost feels like you're saying they're like lulling Tennessee. Yeah. And they're just saving the playbook for Knoxville.
Yeah, just the classic limp to the sideline, and you're like, oh, man, he's injured? he's fine. He's fine. Georgia will be fine.
This is the Tennessee way, right? You get yourself hyped up, game day. This is the year. And then,
they're just selling tickets now. I told you, it's a big conspiracy, right?
And then the last one, Shane, another weather delay here. Mm-hmm. South Carolina 38, South Carolina State 10. But that doesn't really tell the whole story, Shane. This was a weird one. So game got pushed. Due to weather, South Carolina State had the lead 3-0.
Yep.
South Carolina did not score, Shane, until 5 minutes remained in the first half, and it was a punt return touchdown.
Yeah.
So shout out for Kari Swain. He's right now the leader for special teams player of the year in the conference. And then, hell, he did it the very next punt, Shane. So he scored 14 points by himself on punt returns. South Carolina did not score an offensive touchdown to the third quarter. South Carolina had as many three and outs as they had scoring drives, three each. And they went 3 of 12 on third downs. And, they averaged 4.5 yards per play. South Carolina State averaged 4.4. So, yeah. I mean, this was a damn travesty of offensive football, in my opinion, for the Gamecocks. I know there was a weather delay and all that, but this is a team that, you know, you should be scoring like 60 points on at ease. And hell, again, you get all the points you get. So I'm not sitting here saying like 38 is nothing to sneeze at. But again, you got to remember 14 came on damn punt returns. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think South Carolina just completely overlooked this team. I think the weather, you know, was an issue, but this is a little bit of a red flag here.
A little bit, but it also reminds me a lot of, was it week one last year?
Right.
You know, we kind of panicked after that game. I'm not saying that they held back, but it sure as hell felt like they held back a little in this one. And
Saving it for Vandy? No.
Well, I mean, say what you want. I feel like the next two games you play like you did week two.
Yeah.
You're
getting beat both times.
One of the few SEC teams I felt like took a step back from week one. You know, LSU's another one. But like you said, you're coming off that big win. You got a little bit of a hangover effect here. Can't afford South Carolina. These next three games, at least to the bye, are pivotal. If they're going to have a successful season, they cannot afford to stumble anymore. So little concerning, but they got the win, and an ugly win, still a win, Mike.
Yes, yes, indeed. And, hell, if you go 10-2, no one's going to give a damn about struggles against South Carolina State after a weather delay. You know what?
Exactly, exactly.
All right, Shane, man. A lot of games. We're gonna get to the supers here in a minute, but man, week three,
yes,
opening lines, man, we got now we got some games.
Yes,
but we still got some cupcakes. Shane, Eastern Michigan at Kentucky. Let's start with the duds first. What do you think the point spread is? Eastern Michigan at Kentucky.
Kentucky 17.
23.
Okay,
and we don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. Sounds like. I was going to say bet on Eastern Michigan. All right, how about this one, Shay? Texas, mighty Texas, facing UTEP at home. What do you think the opening spread is?
40.
Dale, you about nailed it. Texas by 38.
Okay.
How about
gonna move.
Your Missouri Tigers, Shane, hosting Louisiana. What do you think the opening line is there?
Give me 31.
21. See, again,
Cajuns are better let than I
down.
Thought.
Let down after a big win. I think that's what they're thinking. You know?
Okay.
Speaking of, well, the opposite of a letdown, Shane, Auburn, they're red hot. They're facing South Alabama. What do you think the opening point spread?
38.
25. Too much love.
Damn.
For Fig Newton and company and old Hugh. How about Bama, Shane? Bama, red hot Bama. Can't be stopped. Hosting Wisconsin, what do you think the opening line is there?
17.
Oh, yeah. See, you about nailed it. See, you're getting good.
Yeah.
19 in favor of Bama. All right, now here's every game the rest of the way, Shane. Cannot wait for these. Now we're getting into the cream of the cream. These may be the best damn games in the country here, and they're all out of the SEC. A&M, Shane, Texas A&M at Notre Dame. What do you think the opening line is there?
I think they'll give Notre Dame the edge, 3.5.
6.
Lock of the week, maybe?
All right, now every game the rest of the way, Shane, are the best, our favorites. Conference action, Vanderbilt at South Carolina. What do you think the opening line is here?
At South Carolina? I'd say South Carolina, 6.5.
You're too good, buddy. 7. South Carolina by 7, so you about nailed it. Arkansas at Ole Miss. What do you think the opening line is for Arkansas at Ole Miss?
Ole Miss, 9.
Again, too good, Shane. Too good. It's 10, so you're right there. How about which I thought was going to be the game of the weekend till one team was a complete dud? Florida at LSU. What is the opening line? Florida at LSU, you think?
LSU, 8.5.
You're cheating. You're cheating, Shane.
What is it?
8.
Oh, all right.
So you nailed it. And then Georgia, mighty Georgia, Shane, at Tennessee. What do you think the opening line is, Georgia at Tennessee?
Tennessee 13. Give me Georgia 7.5.
Too good. 7. So Again, except for Ole Miss, all these less than double digit spreads in the SEC going into next weekend. Cannot wait. It's going to be one hell of a weekend. Shout out to Solarth. Hangover's a hangover, even if you get laid the night before. Hell yeah. I appreciate you there. Bo, hail freaking State. Shane Davis.
Hell yeah.
20, but man. Imagine being a Mississippi State. Yeah, it doesn't get any better right now than everybody in the world thinks you suck, doubting you, beating number 12. I mean, soak us in because you're on cloud nine right now. You know what?
Shut it down. Let's end it right now.
Shout out JR. He says battle, game day battle, Tennessee, Georgia, go Dogs.
Going to be a good one. We should go over there.
Game day. Shout out Glenn Warsaw, $5 donated memberships in honor of OU's win over Michigan. Where is Show Claws Stallions when you need them?
I hope he was recording that ass beating.
I wonder if he signaled it. You know what? Dylan with Dylan. Hey, guys, happy football. Why such a hard turn on UK the last couple of seasons? We just want to win games again. 16 and 21 Stoops balls have made this hard.
Yeah.
Again, I think had they relied on the ground game, they could have won that game. I don't know what the hell they were doing.
Just get a little something from quarterback play, too. And I felt like there were moments that right before half, you should have had a field goal, you know, but you messed around, Coach Stoops. That's on you.
That was stupid. I still don't know what he was doing. No. Shout out Michael Dunlap. Shane got any eligibility for offensive line getting run through like shit through a tin horn. You know what?
Oh, Nick Saban.
Shout out Blue Nut. What a name. Mr. Brightside is still serenading my soul today because it's MIZFKU.
Video floating around them, the fans singing it. It was awesome. It was intense. The loudest it's ever been.
Yep. Mr. Prissy, hope I didn't.
No, wait, no, we did this one. Precise.
Oh, Precise. Okay, shout out Precise. Shout out Oklahoma, restoring the reputation of the SEC after the Texas debacle. Oklahoma's going to save us after Texas screwed it. You know what?
Hell yeah.
Cameron, shout out Cameron, gave us $10. Hail Stake, we cleared some room for MIZ and Jackson Freeze to be top 25. We up for this week. Anyway, Sip and Sven, shout out Cousin Cameron.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is my bell for you here. Robert Nicholas gave us $10. Bo knows football. Hell yeah,
he hell does. Yeah, you know, he does. Put that on a shirt. That's got to be on a shirt, right?
Shout out Marshall Childs. None of these games matter. The only thing that matters is A&M beat the hell out of Notre Dame.
Hell yeah.
Next weekend, Cousin Shane better bet his entire bank account on it. Casey Concepcion still prove he's the best receiver in the SEC. I think you're on to something. You know what?
Just got
to
give him the ball. You know, just give him the ball. He'll be fine.
Dealing with Dylan, it's a shame. As a Kentucky fan, watching us field a solid defense consistently the last 10 years, we can't score the damn ball. You know what?
Damn. Mm-mm-mm. I hate it. I really do, because fans were there. They were loud and proud. And they just, like, after a bad play or a bad call, they go to the fans. You just look at them. You just feel bad. Like, damn. What, you know, it sucked to pay all that money to watch that.
Yeah. God, that's depressing when you put it like that. You know what?
I know. It's like, for half, just kick me in the nuts, you know?
Hey, shout out Storm Chaser. Shandy just gifted 5 memberships. The Sparky Watts, Scarecrow Boat, Rick, Michael, McCauley, and
Lucha.
Lucha. Welcome
to the family.
Cousin Cal, he says, Bo Prabilla, the most underrated quarterback in the SEC. Not anymore, Shane. I think, well, we haven't done our rankings, but I think he's going to be properly rated this week. How about that?
Who do you think's the most underrated quarterback right now in the SEC? Because I don't think it's Bo. Everybody got to see it now.
Blake Shapen, probably.
Yeah, I like it. A lot of people got to see that one, too. But it was on with another game, but I see what you're saying.
And then shout out Liquid. If you have a blue nut, butter the sauce.
Oh, God. We're getting
He's got
to
have some fun after his weekend. You know what?
Absolutely. You know what? You do you. You do you, boo.
All right. Anything else, buddy, before we hop off the line?
Don't forget, tomorrow, 7:30, SEC Hangover. over. We're going to do the lighter side of SEC news. So if you ever see anything stupid, be sure to tag me and we can include it in the show. So I look forward to seeing everybody bright and early, but have those notifications on, because if Billy does get fired, you want to be notified when we go live.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. Again, the notifications, we should have three shows, yeah. Morning show, afternoon show, evening show with Steven. So we're going to be locked and loaded on the channel. The best time of the year. SEC football heating up. Several conference games. Yes, sir.
Don't forget the shout-outs. Shout-outs, JP, I appreciate you putting this together. Shout-out to you, cuz. Goes to Liquid Flames, Glenn Warshaw, Butter Sausage, Cousin JR, Bo Button, Steven Up, Dylan with Dylan, Dustin Boyd, Michael Dunlap, Jeffrey Kemper, Blue Nut, Mr. Precise. You got the other one there. There it is. Cameron. We keep clicking. Cameron Williams, Robert Nichols, Stringer Films, Marshall Chiles, Richard Johnson, Jared Addison, Kyle Beggar, Burger Bigger, Storm Chaser, and Slarth. Appreciate all you legends. And I appreciate you, JP, for putting that together. I really do. Cousins are going to jump on over to Discord. So if you want to hang out with those crazy bastards, jump on over there. Talk about the SEC football news and such.
Yeah, it's like the after-hours show, you know?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of craziness going on.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. We'll see you all in the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.